And happy anniversary, Carl and Isabel. Hope you'll enjoy your day today. Yeah. 24 years ago, I had a dream. And this was a great dream. I had a dream to bless the children in my community. I had a dream to get them out of their dire situation of poverty and bring them to where God wants them to be. And so with much prayer and waiting upon the Lord, whilst in Australia in the year 2013, I set up a school. And as you can see on the screen, I started with 20 children and one teacher. The other lady you see there on the left-hand side is just an aide, not really a teacher. But today she's become a teacher because I took her to college and she trained as a teacher. But she was just an aide helping with the children and, you know, toilet training and all that. You can see the children standing in front of a classroom. It's a mud walled classroom. And so this teacher taught and also cooked for the children, of course, with the aid. That is our pioneer class. And sorry. You can see they're now in the classroom and they're sitting on desks which were donated by Australians. You know, they send money and we made the desks in Kenya. I'm so excited today because that pioneer class of children who are about 5 years, 6 years old, today, they're in high school. This year, they're in high school. So that's our pioneer class. And that's a day school. Those are 13 out of the 20 children in day school. 7 other children are in boarding school. And you can see they are very happy. And that really makes me very excited because I really desire that these children get to where I got to and even beyond. So they're doing first year in high school. They only have 3 other years and they'll be through with high school and will be joining tertiary institutions and university. They have a big ambition. They want to become great people in the country, great leaders, and so that will be very good. Because they are in a high school, public high school, you know, and they're being, you know, paid for by sponsors, supporters who are praying with us. And these public high schools are not Christian schools, so they mix up with the children who come from different backgrounds. They're not Christians, not necessarily Christians. We thought we needed to retain our own and have them as our own children. So every school vacation, they come back to our church and school. And we have a mentorship program. So that's one of the mentorship programs that we've had with them when they were on a school holiday. And I'm there, of course, just providing guidance and having a discussion with some of them. Then, of course, that's another photo where we have the children, and you can see they're very happy. And they look quite healthy, really, because, you know, they're provided with food and uniform and school fees and all that. Now, today I will talk about being the right person in all circumstances. But I would wish that you look at the table that we've put our resources there, and I have a copy of the email sign-up sheet if you like to be receiving our bi-monthly prayer letters, which we give every second month. You can sign up for your copy. Just write your name and email address, and we'll be happy to dispatch these newsletters to you. A few years ago, whilst I was in Australia, I called a Kenyan friend who lives in Sydney. He lives and works in Sydney. And so I called him just to say hello. And this time, he said hello. But he wasn't as excited as he usually is. And he quickly asked me a question. "Michael, do you know anyone in Canberra?" You know, I was shocked. Because I'm just a visitor here. I don't know anybody in Canberra. But the story is that he had submitted his Kenyan passport to the Kenyan High Commission in Canberra to be forwarded to Kenya for renewal. He had paid the renewal fee, and he was waiting. And he kept waiting for about a year. He was not getting any response. And so he was asking me if I knew anyone in Canberra to help him fix the problem. You see, this is a question that many people ask. Do you know someone who can do this and that? Do you know anyone who can fix this problem? So that's a question that many people ask. And, you know, in the secular world, when someone asks you this question, he's really looking for a link to connect him to someone who has some degree of authority or a sphere of influence to help him come out of a problem or fix a problem. It could be someone in government or someone in a corporate institution, but he's seeking to have a problem fixed. The person in authority or influence would be the right person to fix the problem. And the vast majority of people have risen to fame through the help of others. We read in the book of Psalms 46 and verse 1 that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He's ever-present, whether circumstances are good or bad, whether circumstances are favorable or unfavorable, he's ever-present in times of trouble. Jesus healed a man who was crippled for 38 years. And when Jesus asked the man crippled for 38 years at the pool at Bethsaida if he wanted to get well, this is what the man said. "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You see, for many years, there had been no one to help this man get into the water. And When the angel came to stir the water, the first man in got healed. This man had no one to help him. And so his situation grew worse and worse. And there were conditions for healing. Actually, these conditions were quite ridiculous because first, the angel of God had to come down and stir the water at a time unknown to the sick folks. And the second condition was, not everyone who got into the water got healed, but the first one in got the healing. So this was actually a tough condition for this crippled man because he had no one to push him into the water. There was no other way someone could get healed apart from the conditions that were laid down. And no wonder this man was in that condition for that long. At least others managed to get into the water, either by themselves or with the help of others. But they didn't get healed because they weren't the first one in. But it was a good go for them anyway because they got into the water. But this man had no one even to push him into the water. We read from the Bible that one day Jesus was passing by. And it was not a day and time when the angel was coming to stir the water. And so Jesus asked this man if he wanted to get well. The man said, "Sir, I have no one. I have no one to help me get into the water." And Jesus said, "Get up, get your mat, and walk." Jesus healed this man without the angel coming down to stir the water. You see, Jesus used an orthodox method. According to the scripture, he used an orthodox method in an extraordinary way to heal this man. In response to God's work in our hearts, we are called to share the wonders of his wonderful nature with a world that is desperate and in need. God has chosen us to reveal himself. And you're the right person God wants to use to demonstrate his unfathomable love to this sick and desperate world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God chose us before the creation of the world and ordained us for such a time as this to do good works. And we are his hands and feet. As we read in the Bible, in the book of 1 John 4:17, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are Jesus' hands and feet. And we present Jesus to the world as his ambassadors and work on his behalf what he ought to have done, because we have his love in our hearts. No wonder the Apostle Paul exhorts us to be prepared in season and out of season. To be prepared when circumstances are favorable, and to be prepared when circumstances are not favorable. to be the right person in season and to be the right person out of season. To serve God when the environment is good and to serve God when the environment is unfriendly. To help your neighbor when you feel like and to help your neighbor when you don't feel like. And you see, Jesus said, if your enemy if your enemy abuses you, if your enemy does wrong to you, you know, just do good to him. You know, you don't feel like, but just do good to him because you're heaping coals of fire on his head. Whether circumstances are good or bad, we just need to serve God. We just need to worship God. And we are encouraged to give thanks in all circumstances. So we are encouraged to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Whether circumstances are good or bad, we encourage just to give thanks. We encourage just to worship God. We encourage just to serve God, whether circumstances are favorable or unfavorable. In your calling as the right person, in all circumstances, you can follow the example of Prophet Habakkuk, who worshipped God in all circumstances. You see, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we read as follows, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Savior. I'll still serve God. I'll still worship God, despite the circumstances. And when God calls you, he equips you with unique grace, which allows people around you to sense his spirit in you and some air of influence around you. And they expect you to provide encouragement and uplifting and initiate works of transformation in their lives. God gives you a certain measure of influence which you can use to bring people to their God-ordained destiny. God called Saul and had him anointed as king over Israel in a profound and dramatic way. Saul's servant was with him and benefited much from walking with him. And we read this in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. You see, this is Saul and his servant who were being seated at the head of those who were invited. And verse 23, Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside. So the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion, from the time I said I've invited guests. And Saul dined with Samuel that day. All of us will agree that Saul is the main character in this passage. But there is someone mentioned who is little known, if not known at all, as far as his family background is concerned. Saul's servant. Looking at this passage in the perspective of Saul's servant, it's mind-blowing to see how God can use someone to lift another and bring him to a place of honor. This servant was with Saul because it was God's plan that he goes with Saul to look for the lost donkeys, even though there were other servants of Saul's father who could have gone with Saul. God knew that he was going to use Saul to get this man to where he wanted him to be. And so, in verse 22, we see, then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 in number. This is Saul, who was a Benjamite, the smallest tribe, and his family the least. And he was rewarded with something big that he didn't deserve. This is called the grace of God. Next, we see his servant brought into the royal hall. He's seated at the head of those who were invited among all the people of respect and repute. This is incredible. The servant of Saul also got to eat the best food that day. He hung around royal people. Hanging around the right people is very important. Saul was the right person as he made his servant hang around the right people of royal background. Saul made the day for his servant. You see, someone said, with the right mindset, with the right people, with the right support, things happen. All you need is the right mindset, the right people, the right support, and things happen. So when Saul became king of Israel, he probably made his servant his personal assistant. Maybe, because they worked with him. He was anointed when his servant was there. So he probably made him his personal assistant, and so that meant his salary was increased maybe about 5 times over, and so his standards of living were uplifted just because he worked with Saul. And this could probably have impacted his family, you know, the servant's family. In Africa, there is a saying, touching one life directly is touching many lives indirectly. And we saw previously how Jesus made the day for this man who was crippled for 38 years. The man was totally healed. He could now walk, probably. He could have married, probably. I believe this man was not married. Otherwise, because this man said, I have no one to help me. If he was married, maybe his wife would have been there at the pool to help him get into the water. So this man was not married. This man didn't have a family. And so when he got healed, Jesus made a day for him because this man could now walk and this man could have a family, could raise a family. And so we see Saul making a day for his servant and Jesus making a day for this crippled man. And so we are challenged. Or whom are we making a day for? You know, it's my heart's desire to make a day for the children in my community who cannot get an education or a meal. That's my heart's desire. I want to make a day for them. I want to see them grow up becoming very successful in life, and transforming their lives will transform their generation, their families. God has made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to him. And so we are the right person in people's lives. And we need to live right and reveal God's heart to these people. You should know that you were made to share God's heart, a heart of love and self-sacrifice for others. Zainabu Ali is a Muslim woman who picked a little boy abandoned in the streets in Turbo and raised this boy. She recently said, "None of my older children ever went to high school due to lack of school fees." And she's so proud and overjoyed that this little boy, whom she picked years back from the streets in Tarubo, and learning in our school, Victory Christian School, has now joined high school. His name is Abubakar. Now we call him John Bush. He's now just joined year 9 in high school. He only has 3 more years and he joins uni. So this woman sees this as a dream. She's not believing. She says, none of my children ever went to school. Ever went to high school. Except for this one, whom I picked. She also has a little daughter in our Victory Christian School doing year 4. And, she came to us and said, now I'm giving you John Bush and Hafsa. I want you to raise them in a Christian way because I have seen the love and generosity of the church in this community. And so I'm giving you. These children have now converted into Christians. They come to church every Sunday. And in fact, they come to my house. They come to my house and then we drive together to church. And they've started taking responsibilities in the church like sweeping and putting up chairs, So she's very, very proud of our church and what we are doing and the school. You see, your investment in the lives of these children will give you a place of greatness in the eyes of God, because all great people have one thing in common. They all have selfless. Oh, they all have been selfless in their service to others and to help them overcome obstacles. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great, because greatness is determined by service." So not everyone can become famous, but everyone can become great, because greatness is determined by service. What service are you giving on behalf of God? I desire that you may find joy and passion in God's longing to use you powerfully and in a unique way by being the right person in all circumstances. You weren't created to live a normal life whose impact only lasts for this life. God, in His grace and love, has called you to do more. You are made for a life of deep and lasting impact. You're made to share God's heart with the world. It can be difficult to understand God's heart in wanting to use us. For some, we write ourselves off as too sinful or weak or selfish or inept to be used by God. And for others, we view God as a taskmaker who wants to use us solely for His own motive. Still others of us believe that serving God is less fun, less fulfilling, and far stranger than any fiction. The truth is that your life will never be fulfilling until you allow God to use you as the right person in all circumstances. And so with that, I need you to pray for me. I'm facing a great challenge because these children who have joined high school need to pay school fees. And we have children in our primary school who are being supported by good friends like you. The threat I'm facing now is that if I don't pay school fees for these children in high school, they'll be thrown, locked out of high school. And so they'll go back to the streets. They'll go back to community and indulge in all sorts of evil things. I need your prayers. Pray that God will supernaturally provide for these children. For these children take the front row in my heart. They are at the center of my heart. They are actually my life. I've given my life for these children. I want them to get to where God wants them to be. And I believe you and I are the right person to take these children to their God-ordained destiny. So please, Carl, I would like you to pray for me. Yeah.
Let's pray for Michael and his work. God, we thank you for Michael. Thank you for the word this morning, Lord, about being what you created us to be, being your masterpiece, Lord, that you've prepared good works in advance for us, Lord. And that you're pleased when we bear fruit and bear much fruit. And we thank you for the fruit that's in Michael's life, God. We thank you for the work of the school. And God, we pray that you would bless the school, that you would bless the children, that you would provide. God, we thank you that you have. It's an amazing testimony looking at the pioneer class and looking at what you've done. So we praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you do supply our needs. And God, we are open for you to stir our hearts if there's a way that we can help. But we want to pray, God, for your blessing, for your abundance, Lord, for your provision for Michael and for these children. We praise you and we thank you, God, and I pray that the word that's been shared this morning would go deep into our hearts, Lord, and that we would think about these things, these strong things that we read in your word, as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. So have your way, God, in us. Have your way in Michael's life and continue to provide for him and for these children. We pray, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.